You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm Jake Madison, your host and writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, coming to you on this Thursday, almost the end of the week. So hopefully work's not going to be too hard for everyone out there and you can make it through to the Friday and the weekend. No Pelicans games played just yet. They've been in China, or they got in there last night today, depending on the time zone you're in and time zone they're in, to play two games against the Houston Rockets overseas as part of an NBA initiative to kind of globalize the game. They left shortly after the game on Tuesday, flew there overnight. I think it was like 16, 18 hours for them. Stopped in Anchorage, Alaska for 2 hours to refuel, where they happened to be there at the same time as the Houston Rockets, who, by the way, I think have kind of become my least favorite team in the NBA this past offseason, with some of the comments Ryan Anderson has said, just Eric Gordon going there in general, and I'll actually touch on that in a little bit. But the Pelicans are going to be overseas for about a week and a half, 10 days or so, playing those two preseason games. We should get a better look at the team, get a larger sample size. We're going to talk about some of the things I've seen from these two preseason games, some of the worries I have from them. You know, I think this team, this Pelicans team in particular, has more questions than answers. So we're going to bring those up, talk about them a little bit, and kind of what to keep an eye on for over the next four preseason games before the start of the regular season. And I also want to touch on the league pass rankings, which is one of my favorite features of the year that Zach Lowe for ESPN.com put out today, or the first half of it. So we'll go over those a little bit, talk about the questions. Like I said, I think this is a bit of a transition year. I was talking with Michael McNamara of BourbonStreetShots.com on Twitter a little bit about it, so it kind of gave me the inspiration for the podcast today. So there's a lot more questions than answers for this Pelicans team. You know, it seems like it's going to be a transition year. They're missing a piece or two. I didn't really rate the offseason too highly, though. I didn't rate it poorly kind of because of that. So things we're going to get into for sure today on the podcast. Before we touch on, you know, the topics of the day, I do want to mention to you guys, I mentioned it on Monday and Tuesday, the SeatGeek app for your phone for getting tickets. The regular season for the Pelicans and the NBA, and it's still football season, is all right around the corner. SeatGeek's the best way to get tickets for it. They search multiple sites. It's kind of like Kayak if you've ever used it for travel, where it's going to aggregate and look around and find you the best price on the flight that you want. You know, tickets might be listed for different prices on different places, especially if it's kind of automated. SeatGeek's going to make sure you're not overpaying for the tickets, especially if they're cheaper somewhere else. That's the one thing I really love about this app. I've used it for Saints games personally, as I don't have season tickets to that. I've had friends who have used it for the big games for the Pelicans this past year, and it's particularly for our Locked On Pelicans listeners. We've got a promo code for you for the first time you ever make a purchase through it. So go to your app store, whether it's Google Play, Microsoft, iTunes, I don't really know what Apple does, and download the SeatGeek app, go to settings, put in the promo code of LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. You're going to get a $20 rebate for it, make your game a little bit cheaper. It kind of pays, you know, for some of the beers right there for you. Things can get expensive at, you know, NBA games, at Saints games, at LSU games. So make it a little bit cheaper on yourself and make sure you're not paying more than you need to. So definitely go in, download the app, put in LO Pelicans as your promo code. So the Houston Rockets, and I need to get some of this off of my chest here. I really dislike this team going forward. I think part of it was I never really liked them to begin with, being a slight rival of the New Orleans Pelicans and the New Orleans franchise being so close in the same division, them just being better than the Pelicans in general. You know, I like to watch James Harden, but his lack of defense kind of bothers me. I really hated their offseason. The way I look at it is this. They signed Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, basically two starters off the 30-win Pelicans last season, to go along with James Harden. Those are three guys that really don't give you anything on the defensive end. And then they went and hired Mike D'Antoni, you know, the guy from the Pringles can is where you might know him from, to be their head coach. Is that team going to play defense at all? I don't understand what's going on there. And taking two starters off a 30-win team, when you look at the other, you know, another Texas team, the Dallas Mavericks, who basically went and signed two starters off a 73-win team, and Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes. Not that I like those guys particularly, but I'd say I'd rather have those two, maybe not at the price they are, but you know, instead of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, two guys I think they're paying, you know, close to $20 million, a little under that, for each. So the contracts they gave out to those guys was mind-blowing, and I think this is one of those things where the Pelicans fans have watched those guys for a couple of years now and just wondered. But the thing that irks me the most definitely is Ryan Anderson's comments, basically saying that he had more open looks in practices with the Houston Rockets than he had in his entire career in New Orleans. And I mean, come on, this was a guy that was well-liked by fans, has a great personality, he's a lot of fun to be around, a great interview, but for him to come out and kind of trash the franchise left a bad taste in my mouth. They paid him a lot of money to be here. He suffered a lot of injuries, went through some personal issues and some tragedies. For him to, you know, and this team supported him through it all, so it was kind of surprising to hear that, you know, and after he comes out and kind of trashes this team and these players, the Pelicans are going to spend 10 days with the Houston Rockets in China. Today, they've already played off in some NBA 2K games, promotional things they're doing. And I'm happy to report the Pelicans drew first blood and won the 2K challenge against the Houston Rockets. So, you know, stick it to them a little bit has been kind of nice. But this is a team I'm going to root very hard against as the season progresses. And I wouldn't be shocked if Pelicans fans do so as well. But now focusing on this Pelicans team. This offseason, I rated them a B minus to a B. Basically, they didn't go out and overspend. They didn't, you know, throw money at a guy like Harrison Barnes. I don't even think he was in the mix to really be signed by them. And personally, if you're him, why would you take the Pelicans over the Dallas Mavericks at this point? But the Pelicans didn't go out, sign any real difference makers. They kind of just did what you are supposed to do in the offseason. I've always said they are perfectly adequate. They didn't make bad moves. They signed okay guys. They didn't make great moves. So, you know, you give them a passing grade, but they're not certainly going to get a B plus, A minus, or an A to me. You know, you don't get points for not cheating on your husband or wife. It's what is expected. And when you go out and do what it's expected, you don't get bonus points for it. You know, we live in a bit of an age where everyone gets a trophy for just participating. Well, the Pelicans aren't getting a trophy for just making smart moves, though there is something to be said for just making smart moves. Not a lot of NBA teams do that consistently. But this team didn't go out and sign any difference makers. It puts them in a bit of a transition year. And, you know, looking at this team after especially watching the Pacers game live in the Smoothie King Center on Tuesday, I think there's a lot more questions than answers. And Michael McNamara and I were talking a bit about it on Twitter the other day and through emails and everything, though he doesn't write for the site as much anymore. He's still very involved and a great guy to have as, you know, a sounding board, someone who's actually given me personally a lot of feedback on the podcast, and I really appreciate him doing that. So think about some of these questions, you know, as we watch these next four preseason games and probably the start of the year. You know, like I said, I liked all the Pelicans' moves this offseason, but other than Anthony Davis, is anyone really a consistent player who's going to be able to produce, at least on the offensive end? Defense, we don't know yet. That's kind of going to be a team thing. But offensively, is there anyone that's a huge threat outside of Anthony Davis? The Pelicans scored 28 points in the paint against the Indiana Pacers, and that was it. That's not good. You need to get more than that, especially when you have a dominant big man in Anthony Davis. You need to give him some help down there. There's a lot of shooters on this team. You know, they added some this offseason, and each one more. Buddy Hield, even Solomon Hill's good at shooting from three. Langston Galloway can shoot threes from the corner, but who's going to score in the paint and ease up on that? You might be, you know, filled with shooters, but if they're not going to consistently make shots or they're going to be covered, you need to score in the paint. Otherwise, this Pelicans team is going to need perfect ball movement throughout the season to make sure they're manufacturing these open threes. And I don't know if we're going to consistently see that. I think they're going to try and do that, but I don't know quite yet if these guys are equipped to kind of handle the pressure that comes with that and that play style. And if they're not, this Pelicans offense is going to definitely stagnate at times, or they're going to be taking contested shots, or even if the shots are open, they're going to miss a lot. So you don't want to solely rely on three-point shooting. Golden State has been one of the league leaders in points in the paint throughout their kind of run these past two or three seasons, and you know them primarily as a three-point shooting team. So, you know, three-point shooting is something you can use. It can be effective, but you can't solely rely on it. People are going to just go cold. That's what happens with shooters. So who's going to consistently score in the paint? And that's going to definitely be a question. You know, you can't rely on Omer Asik. His hands are made of stone. He's not great at those little bunny shots he has. One of the big problems with Omer Asik below the rim is something that really prevents big men from being truly great. So when they catch the ball, they oftentimes need to dribble it before they go up for a shot. They tend to catch the ball, put it on the floor, then go up. a big man with without strong ball handling skills or very good hands in general is going to have that poked away from it. It'll be a turnover. It'll lose the ball. Maybe they get it back. And now all of a sudden the defense is at times to adjust to the pass. They can get down there and double or triple team. I mean, we've seen that with Oshik all the time. What big men need to do, especially dominant big men, once they catch the ball, just jump up and shoot it or jump up and dunk it. Don't put that ball on the ground. It's something that Omer Oshik does, and it's going to hold him back. And it's why you can't, if you're a Pelican fan, believe he's going to consistently lead this team, especially, provide the needed score. And they're essentially playing 4-on-5 on offense. Alexei Ajinsa is the other guy, but he's primarily more of a jump shooter, a close-range jump shooter, sure, but he's not this dominant, force under the basket that the Pelicans are going to need at times. There's Anthony Davis, and you can surround him with shooters, but it's also, again, that's going to lead you to 28 points in the paint, and we saw that didn't go too well for the Pelicans against the Pacers team on Tuesday. So who else is going to score in the paint? Tyreke Evans was a guy who can get into the lane and score at the rim. Same thing with Drew Holiday. But I want to particularly look at big men. And really the only other name that jumps out to you is Terrence Jones. But Terrence Jones' shot selection, at least on the Pelicans, these two preseason games, and I understand it's a very small sample size, has left a lot to be desired so far. He took, I think it was three threes in the first preseason game against the Mavs in Shreveport. He took five on Tuesday against the Pacers, and missed all five, by the way. For this preseason, in the two games, he's taken 22 shots. 12 of them have come in the paint, particularly in the restricted area. 10 outside shots, it's 55% is his shot selection in the paint. I wondered if that was kind of typical for him or not, so I looked at the past couple of years for him, past 3 years for it. And so I'm going to let you know some of the numbers with him so far. 2015-2016 season with the Rockets, these are all going to be with the Rockets. He shot, 70% of his shots were in the paint. In the 14-15 season, it was a whopping 81% in the paint. And in the 13-14 season, it was 77% in the paint. So for the most part, he's a big who prefers to play down low. He has the outside shot to use when needed. If he's up there, if he's open, it can kind of free him up. You can use him in a high pick and roll, have him pop out for three, which is a nice thing. But this is a guy who can also do a lot of his shooting in the paint. He can score there effectively. And I wonder if the Pelicans are going to use him that way. Like I said, small sample size, but it's the only sample size we have to go off right now, so we need to at least look at it and talk about it. But 55% only in the paint, Pelicans need him to get closer to that 70% mark at least, I think, for him to be the most effective. So it's going to remain to be seen whether this is him just kind of adjusting. Is this the type of offense Gentry's trying to run? It easily could be that. It seems a little bit like that. Shooting has much more of an emphasis on the Pelicans this year. So we're going to see if it's going to be Terrence Jones who's going to kind of take that role over or not, but he's really the only guy on the team so far who'd be able to do that. Another huge concern for the Pelicans has to also come with maybe having too much shooting on this team and more of an emphasis on the outside shot, and that's who's going to draw free throws? Anyone have an idea other than Anthony Davis? Sure, Oshik will get fouled underneath the rim and go to the line. I think he went six times the other night against the Pacers, but again, you can't rely on this guy. He's, not a great free throw shooter. He's got that weird hitch if you've ever watched it. It's kind of an ugly free throw shot. So who's going to draw free throw attempts on this team? And to be a solid playoff team and contender, you need to get to the line. We've seen the Rockets basically live off of this for the past couple of years with James Harden. So what, who's going to do it? This is a problem from too much shooting. Etuan Moore, Solomon Hill, those guys don't get to the line a lot. So I'm going to show you, I looked up the career averages for some of the Pelicans players here, the new signings in particular. Terrence Jones, the guy we've talked about a lot this week, an intriguing player, the guy who seems to going to have a big role with the Pelicans, which is not necessarily something we want. For his career, takes 2.4 free throw attempts per game. 2.4. So basically gets fouled two or three times, while shooting at for an and one, or it's basically one shooting foul per game, maybe two on the, on the high end with that. Etuan Moore takes 0.6 free throw attempts per game. Tim Frazier in the one season with the Pelicans last year towards the end of the year, 1.5 free throw attempts per game. Langston Galloway is also at 1.5 free throw attempts per game. And Lance Stevenson, a guy who I've think the Pelicans kind of need just because he can attack the basket a little bit. He only is attempted 1.7 free throw attempts per game for his career. So less than I would have expected, actually. these aren't great numbers. You know, other than Anthony Davis, who's going to consistently get to the line, get opponents in foul trouble? These are things you need to do, try and force, you know, substitutions earlier from the opposition. For the record, just so you guys are aware of it, Tyreke Evans, who, you know, I've been vocal about that I don't particularly like on this team, think he fits, but he does have very strong skill set in certain areas, and that is attacking the rim. He gets the line 4.5 times per game. That's a significant increase. Pretty much if you added up all those other guys, you know, leaving maybe Terrence Jones out of it, they equal Tyreke Evans. Jrue Holiday gets there 2.3 times per game, still significantly better than any of the other guards, you know, that the Pelicans signed and brought in. And just for the record, Quincy Pondexter gets there one time per game, so he's not really much of a factor. But the Pelicans need someone else who can get the line and consistently make free throws. It adds a little bit of pressure onto the opposition. And, you know, I think part of this is you're going to see the Pelicans, they averaged 22 attempts per game last season. I think that number is going to drop. That was good for actually 22nd in the league as well. I think you're going to see them even lower than 22nd this coming year, and it might be a real big Achilles heel for this team. If you're not getting opponents in foul trouble or at least trying to force some early substitutions, getting the free points that come with that, you know, it's going to be a bit of a struggle at times, especially if you're not hitting your outside shots, and this Pelicans team really seems like they're going to be relying on three-point shooting. So it's going to be a problem for them. People are going to need to step up. You know, and along with points in the paint, these two kind of go hand in hand together. If you're not scoring inside, you're less likely to get fouled. You know, so these are big questions for the team. And so what are the answers? And unfortunately, there really isn't one. The person who's going to fix this isn't on the team just yet. They need to probably make a trade for another big that's going to be an improvement over Omer Asik, over Alexei Ajunsa. You have to figure Terrence Jones isn't the long-term answer. We're hoping for good things from him. But, you know, on the high end, he's going to give you a slightly above-average basketball player, I think. You know, even in Houston when he was playing well, he wasn't all-star level, anything like that. So, you know, the answer to these questions, unfortunately, isn't on the team yet. And it's going to be, you know, interesting going forward to see what they try and do to manufacture these points and make up for it in other areas. And if the solution for the Pelicans is to simply rely on three-point shooting, that might not happen. You know, shooters are going to go cold. We said this. It's very rare you see a team like Golden State where they just seem to never miss. You know, Ryan Anderson's known as a three-point threat, and he had the court gravity to kind of prove that the team's accounted for him out there. He shot about, you know, closer between 30 and 35%. I'm not looking at his stats right now. Over his time as the Pelicans, and simply just wasn't as good as he had been. Hey, shooters just go cold at times. Some people have off nights, and so you can't just rely on that. You need to create better looks. You need to get those easy points at the free throw line, and unfortunately, this being a bit of a transition year for the Pelicans, they don't have it just yet. It's a bit of a down thing to kind of talk about on Thursday. We'll talk and be a little bit more positive tomorrow for Friday. Start the weekend off right. How's that sound to everybody? So last thing I want to mention before we kind of wrap up the show, which was really nice to see today, was Zach Lowe puts out his annual League Pass rankings, which was a staple over at Grantland.com before he switched over to ESPN.com. And, oh man, good news for Pelicans fans. So he put out the top, I think, 16 or the bottom 16 teams today. And Pelicans are not in that list. So they're in the top half of the League Pass rankings, according to Zach Lowe, who's usually considered the best NBA writer in the country, in the world, one of the better sports writers out there in general. So it was really nice to see some of the teams they beat, which is kind of exciting. You know, Chicago is in the bottom half. The Los Angeles Lakers are in the bottom half. Miami Heat are in the bottom half. Even a really intriguing League Pass team that would have had Ben Simmons if he's going to play this year. I know that's up in the air, but Joel Embiid is on there too. It was the 76ers, and they ranked towards the bottom. So it was kind of nice. The Spurs, who are always a fun team to watch, even if they don't have Tim Duncan, are in the bottom half. So Zach Lowe thinks the Pelicans are at least going to be in the top half of the league for fun to watch. So that's always a nice thing to see, kind of get, you know, some positive press for the Pelicans this offseason, you know, talking about how they're going to watch on TV. So people go into games, all you fans watching them on TV are at least going to be in for a treat. They should be at least fun to watch, that's for sure. Making three-point shots and raining them down, especially when it's Buddy Hield, the rookie, it's going to be wonderful. And the last thing I want to mention before we wrap up today is actually over on bourbonstreetshots.com. Graham McQueen, one of our writers, wrote a wonderful, wonderful piece about Jrue Holiday. where he can improve, how he plays now. He's actually got a ton of information on it. I read it this morning. I got a little bit of a late start on it. And oh boy, is it good. And it's something you definitely need to check out. It's titled In Need of a Holiday. The Pelicans starting point guard is going to be missing an undetermined period of time as he takes care of his wife, which is such an unfortunate situation. And very nice to see that the Pelicans are giving him the time off to do it, and that some things are more important than basketball, and he's doing the right thing to take care of Laura and his wife, who, by the way, did quit her soccer playing career so they could start a family together. It's wonderful to see him do that. But it's also going to show you how, you know, missed Holiday's going to be on this Pelicans roster, on this team, as they have the tough schedule to start the year, you know, getting Golden State right away and all of this stuff. Even the Nuggets on opening night is going to be fairly difficult. So definitely go give it a read. I'm going to try and get Graham on next week. We can talk about it a little bit. We'll start pulling in guests and everything on the show. Definitely give us a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pelicans. I'm Jake Madison. My Twitter handle is at NolaJake. And don't forget to follow BourbonStreetShots.com. It's at BourbonStreetShots. These are all pretty easy things to follow. So I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Talk a little bit more Pelicans as we start the weekend off with hopefully some positive news. Stay tuned for the Pelicans Twitter handle. They're posting some great pictures from the trip to China. It looks like they're having a lot of fun out there. And you all have a good Thursday.